Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org. This program is recorded from an earlier live broadcast.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The monarch butterfly, it is known for its extraordinary beauty, but also for its migration journey that spans thousands of miles from Canada to Mexico. And San Antonio, right in the middle, plays a crucial role in that journey, serving as a critical stopover for the monarchs during both their northbound and southbound migrations. And in San Antonio on Saturday, there is a special event that will honor and celebrate the monarch butterfly and San Antonio's role as a champion city for the monarchs. It is the San Antonio Monarch Butterfly and Pollinator Festival. It is going to be at Brackenridge Park, and we're here with the acting director, Ashley Bird. And welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So what will I see? What will happen if I go to Brackenridge Park on Saturday morning from 9 to 1 and want to take part in the Pollinator Festival?
Yeah, well, you will see a lot of people as pollinators. as soon as people walk through the gates, we have an activation called the People as Pollinators Experiment, where we provide people with a little headpan, the opportunity for them to paint their faces, and then become a pollinator for the day so that they can have that empathy-driven experience to really see what it's like to be a pollinator. And then from there, they get to have all types of experiences. It is a community endeavor. We'll have over 40 education partners, artists, entertainers that really are mission aligned with us to help celebrate the monarch butterfly and the ecosystem that sustains both them and us.
Our phone lines are open. If you want to talk about your relationship with the monarch or other pollinators, we got a lot of pollinators, not just the monarch, even bats. Give us a call. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, hummingbirds, all sorts of pollinators in our area, and we play a role in helping them as they help us. Give us a call. Tell us about your experience with them, 833-877-8255. So, Ashley, what is something that people can do to take the stress off of pollinators?
Oh, my goodness. The absolute number one thing you can do is plant native plants. So kind of what you were alluding to in your previous guest was as well is that we are a critical pit stop because of our unique geography with the Gulf, obviously with the coast, and then with the Rocky Mountains, where we actually create a wind funnel. And that's why we see so many migrating animals. They're forced to come through here. So the number one thing that you can do is make this a nourishing pit stop for them with native plants specifically. So not just flowers. If you plant flowers, while very beautiful, they don't have what's the right way to say that? Like their actual level of nourishment is not nearly as dense as it would be if it was native.
Like what? If not a flower, then what?
Definitely flowering plants, but just making sure that it's not necessarily an ornamental, but that's something that's native to our ecosystem. So, for example, if you want to see butterflies, Greg's Mist Flower, I highly recommend. But we have quite a few native nurseries now that you can go to and say, I want to have native plants, and they'll send you to a whole area direction, or even the whole building itself is with native pollinator plants.
Well, what about milkweed? I hear about milkweed is the thing that these monarchs want.
Absolutely. So milkweed is the host plant for the monarch butterfly. So if you specifically want to support monarchs, you can plant milkweed. And we recommend planting a native form of milkweed. There is another form, tropical milkweed, that has just been tied to a disease that can really actually harm the population if not handled appropriately by cutting back at specific parts of the year. So we encourage native milkweed.
So tropical milkweed is something that you're more likely to get at a big box store.
Yes, exactly. It's the one with the red and yellow flowers. And we actually use that in another program that we use for education called Caterpillar Condos. But we call it plant food. Like it's literally meant in order to support them. It is very easy to grow in our climate, which is actually the problem. It doesn't die off like a native would, which can have long-term problems because it keeps the monarchs here. So we end up with a population that isn't moving forward and joining the migration, but rather staying here because they have everything that they need.
So you're having this big festival on Saturday from 9 to 1 at the Brackenridge Park, and this is free. and open to the public. How is that happening? Who pays the bill then?
Yeah, who pays the bill? Our community does. So we have some incredible sponsors that I would love to be able to say thank you to. The John Florence the Newman Foundation. Parks and Recreation is a really incredible supporter for us. They have been out there transforming Brackenridge Park for this whole week. The Winkler Family Foundation, the Will Smith Foundation, the River Authority is a huge partner for us. They come out as litter bugs on that day to teach us about what the harms of not throwing away trash. HEB is a huge contributor, and of course, Brackenridge Park. And then we have quite a few other sponsors and partners as well.
And so what do you recommend people to do? Just bring their kids and come on down.
Apps, bring your friends, bring your family. There is something for everyone. We definitely are family friendly in that we want to make sure we're providing experiences that are really curated and mindful and meet people where they are. But definitely family friendly event. We'll have food. We have more food than we had last year for anyone that came last year. But we'll have food. We'll have opportunities for water and plenty of spaces to be able to both sit and hang out as well as interact. And this year we actually have some new interactive experiences that are fully immersive.
So I hear that, you know, San Antonio is officially we have been certified as a Monarch Champion City. What does that mean?
Yeah, so as a Monarch Champion City, we have made an agreement with the National Wildlife Federation that we will do certain things specifically to support monarch butterflies, primarily around providing habitat, so that's the native plants, and then educating our community, which is why we host the festival in order to share that mission and to get people on board with supporting these pollinators. Now, the beautiful thing about it, you know, the monarch butterfly, as my mentor and founder of the festival, Monica Mackley, says, is a gateway bug. It's beautiful and it's charming and it captures our attention. But when you start doing things to support the monarch butterfly, you're doing things that support all the other pollinators that are a huge part of our ecosystem. So that one little butterfly ends up having this huge ripple effect on our entire ecosystem.
So you're probably helping native bees and things like that.
Absolutely. All the pollinators, the bees, the birds, the bats, the dragonflies, all of the different animals that are part of our ecosystem.
And so people are more willing to work with butterflies because they're so, you know, I mean, they excite the eye.
They excite the eye. And they actually have a really beautiful history. They've intrigued many eyes for many years, including the Urquharts, who were the ones who originally gained a lot of curiosity around where did these monarchs come from, because they, in Canada, they would see them, you know, year after year after year, and they would come and they would go, and they were curious as to, you know, where are these things coming from? And so they launched what has now become a massive international citizen science project where you can actually tag a monarch butterfly with a harmless sticker and then record and share that information with a Monarch Watch out of Kansas City. And then they'll document that, and then we'll able to see and get a pulse on how large the migration is for any given year.
So, I mean, the migration, so it starts with Canada, Mexico, and then back to Canada. So it's not the same butterfly making that entire journey. How does that work?
Yeah, it's both and. So the migration technically begins in the mountains west of Mexico City. That's where they have their diapause over the winter. They overwinter there. And then they wake in the spring in Mexico. The first thing they do is mate, and then the females start to migrate. And they typically land somewhere around this area, San Antonio. That's why it's important for us to have milkweed, because they need that host plant to lay their eggs, and then that's the only food that the caterpillars will eat. So then those caterpillars go through the amazing process of metamorphosis, which is so beautiful and enchanting if you've never gotten to see it. They go through metamorphosis, and then that generation goes and lays their eggs, flying north typically around Canada, around Kansas, but they kind of move across the United States. And then they do this same mate and migrate for up to about 3 or 4 generations, sometimes 5 or 6, depending on how far north they go, all the way to Canada. Now, this is the magic. They get to Canada. This is the multi-generation. We're 4 or 5 generations in. But that one butterfly, known as the super generation, they fly all the way back to Mexico City, to those same mountains, that same area that great-great-great-great grandmother monarch began and originated. So that's part of what makes them so special.
So they have some sort of genetic programming that tells them to do all that.
Yeah, they don't really know. There's been a lot of different research, and I'm not an expert, but from everything that I've read and understand, that we still don't really know And that they've even done research where they've taken these animals and taken them, they have either been bred or in a different environment, and they still, around that seasonal time, they know which direction to fly, and they head, you know, north or south, depending on time of year.
So what occurs to me is if we're reliant on, if the butterflies are reliant on their genetic information to do this multi-generational migration, then they really don't have a lot of adaptability in what's happening. So if the world is changing, if places that they have been using for generations to prosper and are wiped out, then they're not very flexible in dealing with that. So we have to kind of think about, let's make sure that we still preserve these areas.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're seeing with, you know, climate change and habitat loss. We are seeing that decline in the overall population of migratory monarchs. But I do think Monica Mackley just came out with a book about the monarch migration. And she specifically tackles this topic in that, you know, is the migration what's endangered, or is it actually the monarch butterfly? Because there are populations that live in Florida, in California, and other areas of the world that have the climate that they need and the resources that they need. These animals don't migrate, but the migratory population, because of those reasons, is potentially endangered and definitely in decline.
And is that migration, is that like one calendar year that we're talking about, or is it over the course of years?
Yeah, so it's one calendar year. So every year we have the same. We have a spring migration with that multi-generational aspect of it. And then the fall migration, which we are in. If you look around, you'll see monarchs.
And they need water too.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
All right, so we're going to take a break here. Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question, a comment, a story you want to tell us. Were you walking down the park one day and you just found yourself in just a cloud of monarch butterflies? It's probably an experience that you have never forgotten. I want to hear about it. Give me a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Why we need to make sure that future generations of us are able to celebrate and enjoy the future generations of monarch butterflies. Give us a call. The source continues right after this.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies, and we're talking about pollinators in our community, the birds and the bees and the butterflies. This weekend on Saturday is the butterfly, the Monarch Butterfly and Pollinator Festival at Brackenridge Park from 9 to 1 p.m. It's great. It's open to the family. It's free. Just bring the kids, and you're going to have a great time. We're joined by Ashley Bird. She is the acting director of the San Antonio Monarch Butterfly and Pollinator Festival and the founder of Blooming with Birdie. And you can call in with your questions and comments. Talk about, you know, have you ever had a really magical experience with the monarchs? What's your relationship? Do you plant milkweed? Do you see a lot of butterflies coming to enjoy your milkweed? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, Ashley, what is the status of monarch butterflies right now? We've heard stories over the years that they're in crisis.
Yeah, so, and again, I want to differentiate between the monarch butterfly as well as the migratory monarch. But in 2022, the IUCN basically put it on the endangered list, but specifically the migratory monarch for the reasons already discussed. But for us here, they will be looking at it again at the end of this year to determine whether or not it needs to go on the endangered list, because there are so many other animals ahead of them. And this one, because they do have that other significant population, isn't as high as a priority right now.
Right, but it's we'll say maybe it's not endangered, but, you know, doing all we can to help them is probably a really good idea.
Feels extremely important, which is why they began the Monarch Champion City and why San Antonio began to do that after, in 2011 was a really devastating year where there was a significant decline in the overall population. And so that's why the internationally, Canada, Mexico, and United States came together to see what efforts they could put forward for conservation of this animal. And that's where they launched the Monarch Champion City to encourage people to plant that habitat, that native habitat, and educate our community community on the importance of being able to support migratory animals.
All right. And let's hear from a caller. And if you want to join us, the number is 833-877-8255. And we have Adele. Adele, you're on the air.
Yes.
Hi, Adele.
I have both a story and also a question. So
okay.
A comment and a question.
All right.
Every year, for the last 5 years, I have been protecting the monarch butterflies when they fly through my backyard. I have pollinators planted everywhere. And I have collected the caterpillars and then until they went to a chrysalis and opened and then set them free. My question is, there have been times that I have been in the backyard and many caterpillars were back there, and within hours, they've disappeared. Do birds eat monarch caterpillars?
Wow, Adele, thank you for that question. That sounds pretty interesting. So, Ashley Bird.
Yeah, so they are part of the life cycle and the cycle of life for all of our ecosystems. So caterpillars are important food for birds, absolutely. Monarch caterpillars specifically and monarch butterflies are typically, they can get eaten, but not very often by birds because they actually have a really disgusting flavor. There's a really famous photograph of a blue jay, and I forget the researcher that did this particular research study, but showed specifically that monarch butterflies really taste awful, and that same chemical that gives them that beautiful bright orange color is what makes them taste so awful. So they do definitely get eaten, and the survival rate of caterpillars in the wild is about 10%. So kudos to you, Adele, for taking that initiative and bringing them inside and supporting their growth and releasing them. And I would encourage you to get you some tags from Monarch Watch and tag them so that they can be part of that citizen science project.
How does that work? So these are tiny little stickers?
Yeah.
So it's not going to interfere with the butterfly?
Yeah. So previously, historically, they did things like punch holes in wings and did some wild things as they were trying to gather information on what this journey looks like. But they've worked hand in hand to be able to create this extremely lightweight sticker that has a number on it. You gently press it on there, hold it for several seconds, and then release it. And it does not negatively impact their journey. They find them every single year in Michoacan.
So in Michoacan in Mexico, there are researchers that are going around and snagging butterflies and reading those numbers, and they're able to tell, oh, this guy came through San Antonio.
Yeah, so they actually work in partnership with people that live in that area, and they pay them a certain amount per tag. I want to say it's $5 per tag that they find.
Wow.
So they really encourage people that live in that area to go and look for those butterflies. And I actually had the really unique opportunity in 2020 to go down there and participate and be a part of that. And they do, like, you let them know that you're looking for tags, and you'll have, you know, four or five people from the community be like, oh, I have tags. They'll bring out ones that they've already had. But yes, they work together to be able to support that research.
Okay, let's go to Liz on the phone. And Liz, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. I had a question about, just to clarify on tropical milkweed, is it a good idea to have it, or should we just not have it altogether?
All right, Liz, thank you for that, because I think that's really a good question. So is it just like, well, don't put tropical milkweed out, or it's like, well, you can, but there are better options?
This is controversial. There's a disease called OE that is spread with butterflies. And if a butterfly lands on tropical milkweed or any milkweed and has OE, then it will spread to that plant, and then any other monarchs that land on that plant can potentially pick up the disease. So it becomes problematic where with our native milkweeds throughout the spring, they bloom when they're migrating through, and then they die back because they can't really handle our extreme heat of San Antonio summer. So that OE, if it's on there, will die off. Tropical milkweed, however, can live year-round for us. So if that plant has OE on it, it will continue to exist and essentially operate as a disease spreader if it's not cut back accordingly. So, you know, if you're well educated and will be out there and comes up in the spring, you cut it back and you're really, you know, dutiful in that work, then it is possible. But I think for the majority of people, and in order to make sure that we're giving the pollinators what they need, we recommend really staying with the native plants.
All right. And let's go to Sean. And Sean, you're on the air.
Hi. Yes. I'm so glad that Liz just called in, because my question was, I've known that antelope horns, that's a common name of a milkweed, is like the go-to thing for the monarch butterflies. Are there other milkweed species that are native that they use? Because I know the caterpillars are they're pretty good sized guys, and they need some support, you know, to live on. So
they
I
like
was
to chomp
about that.
Chomp on them leaves.
They need a support.
You can almost hear them eating. You know. Sean, thank you for that great call. I appreciate that. Ashley Bird.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're right. Antelope horn is one of the most common native ones. But there's also butterfly weed that the butterfly weed that they will eat. There's also swamp milkweed. So yes, there are absolutely other options that can provide food for the monarch. And like I said, when if for example with Adele earlier, if she's bringing them in and she has a clean tropical milkweed plant that has no pesticides on it, that's the other issue. If you're purchasing these in order to support and feed the monarchs, you want to make sure, the monarch caterpillars, you want to also make sure that it is completely pesticide free. You should see the tiny little aphids living on there, and that's how you know that it's clean. But yes, there are definitely other options of types of milkweeds that you can grow and that are native. There are, I don't remember off the top of my head, but there are at minimum hundreds of different types of milkweeds that spread throughout all across the nation on their journey, because they are all native to that region and bloom appropriately from when they are flying through on their journey.
If I go to the Monarch and Pollinator Festival on Saturday, am I going to be able to get seeds?
There will be seeds. There will be plants. The Parks Department of Horticulture, they are amazing. They will be out there. They will actually be giving away milkweed. They grow native milkweeds, Mark Lawson, and they have them every single year. There will be plants. There will be trees. And there will be, like I said, over 40 other education partners that will be providing plants, education, information. So if this is something you're into or want to learn more about, this is the place to go.
And will there be butterflies?
There will be butterflies. There will be butterflies. Not as many as we hoped for. We do buy these from a breeder that's located in Florida who was recently devastated by the hurricane. Mm. And so they lost quite a bit of their population. So she shared with me that we'll have about 200. So we'll spread those out through the day. The opportunity for the education and to tag will be there, but less than we had hoped for, but still the opportunity.
Well, what about the impact of that breeder being hit so hard by the hurricane? Is that going to have some sort of ripple effects on the efforts like this?
On the population? Well, we actually tagged the monarchs at the Butterfly Festival not necessarily to support the overall population, but rather to provide a connection for people to this animal that will hopefully inspire them on their journey to conservation, to supporting not only the monarch, but all of the other pollinators. So that's the purpose of having them that day. So simply having the experience is what we're going for.
Are we seeing, like, San Antonio public parks, are there spaces dedicated to planting plants that the butterflies want?
Yeah. As a Monarch Champion City, we have pollinator gardens in Monarch, what they're called Monarch Way Stations, throughout our city. The one that I really love and go and see all the time is on the Riverwalk, right as you cross down from Southtown into downtown. There's beautiful gardens provided by the River Authority through there. But yes, they are absolutely located all over our city.
So if I wanted to go butterfly looking, is that a good place to go?
You can definitely go there. Confluence Park is another wonderful place. Also, the Japanese Tea Garden has some really beautiful native plants that attracts pollinators. So there's many places throughout our city.
Or you can go on Saturday to Brackenridge Park, where they're having the Monarch and Pollinator Festival. That seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. Ashley Bird, thank you so much for coming in today and telling us all about that.
No problem. Thank you.
And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.